Okay, it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Okay. The regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo.
I'm here.
Mr. Crowley. Mrs. Cusick.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Ms. Von Leitner.
Here.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein.
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So as you can clearly see, Mr. Ferragina will not be with us tonight. He had a previous engagement that he couldn't make. And Ms. Schaefer's not here, so we have Alisa Puccio covering for her tonight. And now we're moving on to approval of previous meeting minutes, November 9th. Regular meeting and executive session. Motion and second.
I'll motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Minutes have passed.
Okay, I just turned mine off. I was too afraid. Now, moving on to unfinished business. Ordinance 15-2023, amending Chapter 150 to further regulate development and design in the CBD Central Business District and the HBD Historic Business District. Before we go into public hearing and possible adoption, I'd like Brian Dusty to just review.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. There have been some immaterial but changes in the ordinance since it's been introduced on October 12th. And I'd just like to detail those. I can go through them. They're not numerous, but I can read those aloud for consideration for the governing body and the public. Turning to 150-83G, architectural and building design, number 23, second sentence, all development. The development should now read all new construction in the HBD and CBD zone shall adhere. So that is the change there. Section 23B, quote, ground floor parking areas shall be appropriately screened, period. The rest of that sentence will be stricken by faux wall. Decorative punch out shall be provided along the faux wall. Section 23C, all garages shall incorporate. So that shall be stricken all the way up to the beginning of the sentence, roll up shutters. So roll-up shutters or chain-link access gates are not permitted. The rest of that, Section C, is stricken. Skipping down to 23H, the buildings should be designed using a color palette that complements rather than shall. Section 23L, beginning with the primary exterior building materials. That first sentence is stricken. We'll start that sentence with aluminum siding, vinyl siding, etc. So that first sentence is stricken from that section. And then skipping over to 23O, we're adding a clause at the end of that that section, retail window transom, comma, as building code permits. And that, Mayor, are the only changes. Those are the only changes to the ordinance as introduced.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So now we need a motion and second to go into public hearing.
I'll move it. Second.
All right. Questions?
Smith, 29 Wendy Avenue.
First of all, I would ask you, if you could postpone this and re-advertise it. You went so fast, Brian, and I don't know all the changes you made, but there were at least six or seven there. And I don't think it's fair to make these changes. I think you said that they were immaterial.
That's right.
But one will change from a should to, from a shall to a should.
Correct.
That's not, shall means it must. Should doesn't mean it must. I think that that's a major change. I don't know what it's about, because you went so fast, I don't know, but you're making changes in an ordinance without the attorney there, without the, no offense, Ms. Puccio, but you're making changes without the regular borough attorney being here, without the administrator being here. At least six or seven changes that you said are immaterial, that went so fast that maybe everybody else is smarter than I am, and I'm not doubting that, but I just can't follow that stuff that fast. And what's the point of advertising it if you're going to make changes before you even adopt it, and the public doesn't get a chance to review it in advance? I have two more questions myself before you made those changes.
Sure.
Let me go through them. The first phase, it says, where recent developments in the area regulated by the HBD and the CBD have been contrary to the goals in the master plan. What are those recent developments?
There are no specifics that come to mind specifically. However, the master plan was adopted in 2019. Uh-huh. The most recent significant changes to the Chapter 150 regulations were well before that. And so the planning board, when they consider pending applications, consider the ordinances. The ordinances, rather than the master plan, the ordinances are what need to adhere to the master plan. And the point there is that some of our ordinances are not reflective of the newest version of the master plan as written.
So these recent developments that came up, that approved?
Yes. This does not apply to any pending application or previous application. This only, any of these changes in Chapter 150 apply to future new construction or development in these zones.
I understand that. But my question is, so the planning, even though it was contrary to the master plan, which you're saying here, the planning board did approve it.
The planning board approves applications or denies applications based on their relevance toward the ordinances.
So is that a yes?
It's not a yes or no question, Mrs. Smith.
Well, you tell me that the recent developments regulated by these zones have been contrary to the goals. I asked you what those recent developments are.
Recent developments in the Central Business and Historic Business District.
Which ones?
This ordinance was not crafted with any specific development in mind. It is to address concerns or to constrain development in those zones and to update our code.
But what are the recent developments? I mean, if you name recent developments, if you use the words recent developments in the ordinance, I hope to God you're talking about specific recent developments. I mean, you don't just pull words out of the air, and I'm not Mr. Shaker, does
it? I would, okay.
That's what I don't understand. Because that was my next question. Did they get
anywhere? So I guess they did. Some applications did and some didn't. It's not...
Which didn't?
We're not discussing specific applications, Mrs. Smith. This is updating our Chapter 150 regulations for future development. This is not about specific applications or specific developments.
But the reason you're doing it is because of specific developments recently regulated by...
No, not necessarily.
Well, that's what the ordinance says.
The ordinance also says many other things. It's
right. That doesn't make that one right either.
Okay.
Section one of the architectural design, the architectural design thing. I just couldn't make sense of the sentence under architectural design. Do you remember it? F.
Section F?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. All buildings shall be designed to be include interior facade treatment from every vantage point and that are consistent in their quality and finish on all elevations similar to front facade.
So I'm happy to defer to Mr. Romeyer, our borough engineer, but my understanding of that directive is that a building should look the same from every direction, whether if you have beautiful treatments on the front of a building, but a concrete wall on the back of the building should be as attractive as the front.
Okay. It was a sentence structure I was having trouble with.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense to me what it's written. I can't find a subject in press. If you read it, all buildings should be designed to be include exterior facade treatment.
I think we should take the word be to include.
I don't
take
know.
The word B out. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
I don't know, but I didn't think that was one of the changes that you mentioned.
It was not, so thank you for pointing that out.
What's the color palette?
Color palette is the colors used in design of other buildings in the vicinity.
So what are the other colors used in the vicinity?
It depends on the vicinity you're talking about.
Okay. And the historic district, what are the colors?
There are a variety of them, and that's why it's a guideline. It's a should and not a requirement. It's not a shall.
Oh, it is. That's right. It is. Okay, so I just noticed that other one. The facade and the ground level should contain at least 65% glazing.
I'm sorry, what letter are you looking at? Yes, A. 23A. Yes.
Well, it's written in two places. It's written under 150. That was going to be another question. Why is it in there twice? That first section. I have trouble with this. I'm sorry. Be patient. 150.42. 150-42.
Yes.
Number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about the facade on the ground floor level should contain at least 65% glazing. Means windows, right?
Yes. Glass.
Then why is that repeated under 150-83? Any reason?
Yeah, it's talking about the mixed use. It's talking about the principal use.
And then the other one is just the under architectural and building design.
It's just what?
It's under architectural and building design.
Yeah.
Why so it seems specific?
It's saying the same, it's reiterating the point in two places. One is regarding the mixed use, and
just
one is the
general.
Yes.
Said in the first place.
Yes.
Okay. And ground floor parking? You're allowing ground floor parking then in that district under this ordinance?
Yes. Okay. It's currently permitted.
Does that also have to have 65% glazing?
The ground level street frontage. We state in B, ground floor parking area should be appropriately screened. The appropriate screening can contain glazing. As long as it's a minimum of 65% on the frontage, yes.
So I guess the garage, if it is parking, it does have to have...
Yes, it's screened, appropriate screened.
Screening or glazing?
Both.
Okay. And who decides what's decorative? You know, my idea of decoration, I'm sure, is different from your idea of decoration and lots of other people's.
Sure.
So who makes that decision?
So it is these architectural and building design elements are the start of a conversation. That's why they're shoulds rather than shalls or musts. They're a discussion. And it's a discussion. You attend planning board meetings. You know that discussion takes place in every hearing, that there are discussions in place. This is an effort to guide the discussion from the beginning so that there's some guidelines for these designers and architects before they come forward with their ideas. But it's not restricted. It doesn't say specifically it must be this, it must be that. It's the beginning of a conversation to try to steer the aesthetic and look in our central and historic business districts toward what our citizens and our residents are asking for.
But it would be much more advantageous to the residents if it said shall.
Certainly, but we would have to be incredibly specific about what we ask for. And in these zones, we do not have a specific aesthetic. We're not Cape May, we're not Princeton, we're not Spring Lake. We don't have a very specific design standard to which we must these designers must adhere. So this is the beginning of moving in that direction, but it's not a requirement. It's the beginning of a discussion.
Can't just take that step and make it a shall we begin? Cut down a lot of steps.
It's a big step.
It's a big step.
Okay. Thank you for answering all the questions. I know everybody votes on this, so I'm hoping everybody else knows this. And as you do with that, you were terrific at answering all my questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Scott. Thank you for your questions.
And again, I would ask that you would postpone it for any number of reasons, but one, because to make the changes tonight, as immaterial that they may be, I think they're important changes, and I think the public has the right to have known them before tonight's meeting. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Mayor, may I ask if our professional planner just come up?
Absolutely.
Just to help with any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. No,
nope.
Just yes, please questions. Introduce yourself.
Okay. Martha Apte, I'm with CME Associates. I'm the planner who drafted this one.
Okay, thank you.
Is your mic on? I don't know.
The
light is on.
Okay, yes. Perfect.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Hey,
hello.
Katrina Majewski, 124 Washington. This is a planning board, I guess. Sorry. This ordinance was presented to the planning board where, as a member of planning board, I had an opportunity to review and provide comments and opinions. And it's obvious to me that a lot of time and effort went into this ordinance and is continuing to go into it. Because truthfully, these are things that need to be reviewed, they need to be revised. This is a long time needed. It's just not something that right now I can fully put my weight behind and support as a citizen of the borough and as a professional in the field. The ordinance aims to address two items under the guise of one ordinance, which ultimately muddies the effort and detracts from its efficacy. First and foremost, the ordinance proposes to regulate the density in the downtown area, but then goes into great depths to provide specifics in regulating design and guiding design and creating design standards. I think the best approach would have been to separate these two items to fully give each item its attention under different ordinances. The design portion of the ordinance it really misses the mark for three main reasons. First, it's incomplete. Design standards should be done for the borough, not just two out of the 16 zones. You know, good design does consider the whole picture, and when that route's not taken, it can often lead to a haphazard patchwork sort of result that won't get revisited and won't get re-involved into a whole design effort. The second reason, a lot of the language that's included in the design portion of this ordinance is subjective. That's a subjective and vague design language is we can think better than that. And then third, a lot of the language and a lot of the things that are included in the design portion are building-centric. They're only building-centric. You know, as a person in the town, I'd love to see people-centered design. Some design standards that include pedestrian safety, transportation, things like that, not just what a building should look like because it's good design and it's decorative. So it's not comprehensive. It's building first, not people first, and it's subjective and vague. And I think that they should be separated into different efforts. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Just for the education of the public, I sent an email to everyone yesterday, I believe. And as you saw, if you read it, it was in great detail, which I'm not going to go in at this meeting. You all know how I feel. You understand where I'm coming from. But I agree with Mrs. Smith. I would have loved the opportunity to take those six or seven changes to the advertised ordinance and go through them with as much detail as to what that means without that language. What are we missing now by taking six or seven things out of this ordinance? I do want to go into a couple of specifics. One of them is about the bedroom square footage. This was also in that email. 750 for a one bedroom, 950, which was increased enough from 900 to 950. But then for a three bedroom, and that would apply only to an affordable housing unit in any new construction or renovation. You only increased it by 50 square feet. Usually, a third bedroom in an affordable housing unit means it's for children.
Mm-hmm.
An extra 50 feet for one or two children is nothing. So I think that number needs to be increased higher than 1,000 square feet. I don't exactly know what that number is, but I'm sure there's some kind of a standard. You know, in a family of four, what is a good common space for two adults and mm-hmm. at least a couple of children? So with that, the other one was with the dwelling units per acre. The ordinance specifies 40, a maximum of 40 dwelling units per acre. I would just ask that there be some sort of a breakdown for the members of the planning board who are going to be 5 or 10 years down the road, so that they know exactly how many units based on the size of the property. And I can give examples. I'll use one. I know Mr. Dockery is going to hate that I do this, but just as an example, 161st Avenue is less than a half acre. According to this, only 19 apartments would be allowed here. Okay, they're asking for 25. That's just an example. But my point is we should have a graduated chart for the planning board to use to say, for the certain size piece of property, this is exactly how many units are allowed. It would just take out any question of what is allowed. If you're not familiar with the parking situation in the town, like all of us are, they come to these meetings, you know, twice a month. I found the conversation or the description in, which one is this? It's item six under, looking for it. Item six, you know, it just talks about parking. It would be very confusing for somebody to follow this because some language has been stricken, CBD has been stricken from some, added to others, and I think the explanation of the parking needs to be made or simplified so that it's understandable to anyone that reads it. Under the architectural and building design standards, again, the question of shall versus should, may, and all of what was just discussed a little bit. When you have a section that says, you know, there are, I don't know, when we go up to subsection R, that you shall adhere to that, but then when you start reading it, it says you may or you should. To me, that's kind of a conflict in terms.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a new planning board member 3 years from now and read this, and the first sentence says you shall adhere to these, that means up to subsection R, you shall adhere mm-hmm. to them, not may, not should, and that that needs to be straightened out. What we're doing is we're adding a section, but now we're also adding more confusion. The planning board has enough stuff that they have to interpret. Basements, attics, that whole thing that we talked about for years and finally straightened out is a prime example. I just fear that some of this language would lead to more of that. I can't remember, Brian, if this was stricken or not about the utilities, but this section B infers that all utilities must be interior to the building. I don't think it's a good idea to put 30 gas meters inside of an unventilated room inside of the building. If you look at 158 First Avenue, gas meters are all on the outside in the back parking lot, right next to the electric meters, and that's where they should be. It should not be, it says here, all utilities, the interior to the building, fitted with remote meters where possible. So to me, that means the meters inside the building. Not a good idea. I know some of these were deleted. Just make sure there's nothing else. That's the materials. There were some questions about vents. I know the transom vent was just, I think, one thing described in here.
Yep.
I have a question about all of the other vents that poke out the side of the building. Was that ever considered? Should it be considered? And are those things aesthetically as important as what you're talking about with the heating unit vents?
It's addressed in N. All facade vents for air conditioning or heating units. Yes. Right above there.
So it doesn't include furnaces, water heaters, bathroom vents. They're all allowable to stick out the side of the building. That what's being inferred here.
It talks about all air conditioning or heating units. Depending on, it doesn't depend on what side of the building. It's like all that means vent grills have to be incorporated into the window design of the building.
So that's the conversation. So if you have a bathroom vent, now it has to be part of the window unit?
So they have to kind of, there would be a bathroom window and it has to be integrated with the grill. So it doesn't stick out as a, you know, HVAC unit. So, in the new design that you've seen, the PTAC kind of, they are kind of regulated. You have the window and they're right. So it becomes part of the facade rather than it looking like a sticking out.
I see the new buildings in Atlantic Islands, I see white PVC. One's for a high efficiency furnace, one's for a high efficiency water heater, and one's bathroom vents or dryer vents coming out the side of the building. Would they all be incorporated in this window unit?
That's the intent with this standard.
Okay, so that's better than what we have. Thank you for that clarification. I think that's it for now, but my final thought with this is I believe this should be tabled tonight. I think there's too many questions. A lot of these suggestions in the ordinance are leading to more questions, and if we're asking them at this point, what's going to happen when the planning board would get this if it was approved? We don't want to bog down the planning board process with questions that should have been straightened out at this level. So I ask that this ordinance be tabled and revisit it next year.
Thank you. Zoom.
Oh. So I have one hand up on Zoom.
Okay. Mr. Meister.
Josh Lawrence, 460 Bayside Drive. I have a couple of items. It sounds to me like we're not constraining building with this ordinance. It looks more like we're prohibiting it through the back door. I don't see how anyone. So let me. First of all, the railroad lot. Defined from the center of the lot. I don't think that's legal, actually. I think it has to be from the border. I remember many years ago, a woman, a student in Raritan, was denied busing. I don't know if you know Raritan High School, it has a long driveway. She said she was more than 2.5 miles from school and deserved to be bused. They went to court. The judge said the border of the property is the school. If she's not 2.5 miles from the border of the properties, she is not entitled to busing, even if the door to the school is another quarter or half a mile from the border. So I don't really think it's the job of the borough or the planning board to define, when you say 300 feet from the parking lot, to define where that 300 feet is from. I just think, again, your the parking thing is, you're trying to, First Avenue is half a mile long. The site of 160 is exactly a fifth of a mile from the railroad light. Let me back up. I asked the police how many residents of 10 Ocean Boulevard have parking permits as an indication of how many people have two cars. Because every apartment in 10 Ocean Boulevard has parking, has a parking space. So I figure the 24 permits for people who live in 10 Ocean Boulevard are the people who have more than one vehicle. I think that, and when I look through the literature, that seems to be about right, 1.3 in a normal. So I am not for requiring all parking on site. It's only a 4-minute walk if you're 20 years younger than I am, or a 5-minute walk if you're my age, to get to the railroad lot, to get to the furthest end of the Holly Tree lot, is a 12-minute walk from 160. We're talking about a transportation system. I think you saw when we put the bench in front of Borough Hall, people use the bus, but you have to have an infrastructure. And our goal should be to reduce auto use, to reduce pollution, to reduce congestion on the roads. And having a blank, so we should say, you have, you're entitled to one space. 11% of people in New Jersey don't even have a car. When you require parking to be part of your construction, it's like putting a sign at the border saying, poor people need not apply. We don't have affordable housing. If you force the parking into the construction, it raises the cost of construction. If we could build construction without parking or with less parking, or dependent, all these places, we've got a bus that goes through, we've got a ferry that people can use. It just seems senseless to force parking into the standards. I mean, the commercial people who are building, they will build what they need to rent the apartments, correct? If they want to try their luck at not having parking for 5 apartments because they think there's a market for people, and this is going to come truer in the future. This is backward looking. You have the whole baby boomers coming who are going to stop driving, who can't drive. Families are getting smaller. These standards should be looking to the future. Which also reminds me, are there standards for a charging room for bicycles and scooters? Because I think the real danger now in multifamily housing is fires. So I would say put in the standards that if you build a multifamily thing, there has to be a room that is fireproof where people can charge their vehicles and that they're not allowed to be charged in their living quarters. Stuff like that, I think it's needed. So, as I said, if you pass this, I think there should be a sunset provision. That if nobody is able to build anything in the next 3 years under these standards, then they're gone. Because I don't think anybody can comply with what you've got here. That's all. The bus stop planning, that's all. It's a transportation system that people can walk to the second, to where they have to park their second car.
Okay.
How many spots do we have? 118 in the Railroad Avenue lot?
Mm.
How many in the Holly Tree lot?
57.
Another 80?
57.
57. And how many do we have in the harbor? Just available hundreds, 200, 300. And if only one in three people, if only 30% of the apartment dwellers need that second spot, we have more than enough parking in Atlantic Highlands. It's just distributed badly. So we can, as I want to thank you, Mr. Doherty, for turning me on to the high cost of free parking. I think everybody really should read it. It's brilliant and it's revolutionary that we have to do something to rationalize parking, to make it part of a transportation system that works for everyone.
Thank you. And now you said there's someone on Zoom with their hand up?
That's correct. Bringing over Mr. Colangelo.
Rich Colangelo, 55 Grand Avenue. First thing is, I want to point out that I am commenting as a resident and a former planning board member for a long time. What people seem to misunderstand is that the term variance means outside of Section 150. So, no matter what we put in here, a variance itself is outside section, an exception for Section 150. I would like to say, however, that this ordinance gives every planning board member, it codifies exactly what the borough, through its elected representatives, would like to see. So if an applicant does not present what they would like to, what the borough would like to see, that may now be taken into consideration for that application. It's part of the contention for the planning board and the council for years was, in all honesty, partly my fault. I think this is a good ordinance. It's heading in the right direction. And I ask that it be moved forward and more things like this happen in the future so that we can operate together. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No other hand raised. Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
Sarah Collins, are now 20 East Highland Avenue. I had listened to a question. If the public or the council people have seen the modified Exhibit 5-2,
the one that
I don't know that it was included in the public. The only thing that it added was the density requirement of 40 dwelling units per. It added a column in the Central Business District and the Historic Business District. I don't know if Ms. Apte has a copy here.
Yes.
You can show people.
Because that's sort of like the Bible of a developer. Like they have to. That's what they look at for all the setbacks. And
sure.
All the standards, and so this has been put in front of the public, but no one had actually seen this modified exhibit too. So
yeah.
That feels to me like something that should have been put in front of the public and the council before being handed a paper copy right now. I do want to commend the council for taking on issues that I think are important to the public. I attend all of the planning board meetings, or at least I try to. I have a planning degree. I think it's interesting to learn about how zoning regs and ordinances and master plan play into what we see get built. And I think the recent applications have shown that people don't want to see things that are cookie cutter. They don't want to see like copy paste design, as I call it, where it feels like nowheresville. But I think that a lot of what people are reacting to are these buildings that feel too big for the space. I think this gets back to someone else's comment about people-oriented design. I think that this ordinance tries to pick at little things around the edges, but doesn't actually get to what I think we need to do in order to get designs of buildings that feel correct for the scale of First Avenue, feel comfortable for walking on the sidewalks along First Avenue. And I think that some of the issues that do get raised during planning board meetings tend to be about, well, this material or that balcony or whatever. And I think a lot of the comments from the public, they're trying to understand what is it about this building that they don't like, that they're reacting to. And I think at the end of the day, actually what people are like not liking about them is that they're too big. And that does play out sometimes in the comments. People notice that these buildings are too big at the corners. They can't see the traffic. They're worried about their kids crossing the street. They're worried about pulling up to the corner and not being able to see traffic coming in either direction. I think that I know that I, with some of those recent developments, like it just, they feel too big. They feel like they're appropriate for a different size of First Avenue. And we are getting the developers even trying to push the limits with the height and just the size of the buildings. And I think that what we need to move towards is more of like a form-based code. It's all for the, I think there's a lot that we can do for the next master plan. And this feels like we're sort of trying to put a bunch of band-aids on the issues that the residents feel like the issues that are, again, coming up in the planning board meetings with regards to these applications. But this ordinance feels like a bunch of band-aids and not addressing any of the root causes. And I don't understand this idea of a conversation. Should, at the end of the day, a developer is going to develop as much to every square inch that they can to make money. And I don't think that this is going to be grounds for the planning board to reject an application. Oh, but we said you should like adhere to a color palette that we didn't actually define anywhere. And we have no actual documentation of a historic district color palette. But, you know, it just doesn't feel like it adheres to it. So we're going to reject your development application. It's not going to happen. And so I think that what needs to happen, I think that this whole conversation, the planning board applications and the resident comments there, and tonight hearing what people are saying, I think that it's identifying gaps in what we do have. Mm-hmm. We need to inventory our historic business districts and understand, like, what do people like about those building topologies? What are the features that people like? And let's have a conversation with all of the stakeholders, not through an ordinance, like a conversation that is supposed to start like, let's have a conversation with stakeholders who are the residents about what we want to see. And let's inventory are what we do have, so we can point to actual documentation of building typologies and palettes if we want them, or the different design features that we can say, okay, yes, this is an alignment. This does conform with what our town wants and appreciates about our existing town. But right now we're asking folks to they should adhere to development standards that we can't actually point to any standards for. So I think that there's a gap in having a historic building analysis and inventory that we can put to current master plan. I think we need a mobility study, because I think that like all these conversations around parking, it's unclear that this is going to help or hurt. And I would just want to, I guess, push the council to put some money towards some of these studies so that in the lead up to the next master plan, we're better equipped to put together zoning regs and master plan that really does capture and help move Atlantic Island development in a way that people really do feel comfortable and excited about. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
So if I may, if there are no additional comments, I would really like Malvika or Doug to speak about the dwelling units and the density designation with respect to how it helps achieve the other goals, the other setbacks and lot coverage. And you know, in that section, section 150-42, they're all shalls. They're not shoulds. They're not suggestions. These are requirements. So if you would, Ms. Apte.
Thank you. To start with, the objective, and I hear all the comments from the public and the board members regarding, and the council members regarding this ordinance. The intent of the ordinance was, again, your master plan is the policy guide document, which is basically saying there are major goals and objectives to be followed. It does talk about, you know, appropriate density in appropriate locations. So that was our first intent to look at what is happening in CBD and HBD zone. What is the minimum lot area and how do you, you know, what is the development that would fit in this neighborhood? So when we talk about larger buildings that have happened, they're not meeting the goals that were the guiding documents for your master plan. So we looked at your CBD where minimum lot area is 10,000 square feet. Now, what would we fit in a three-story 40-foot building, which is permitted by your ordinance? And through various calculations using ArcGIS maps and looking at the different types of lot area, we came up with the density of 40 dwelling units to the acre, which would essentially say if my lot is minimum 10,000 square foot, I'd be able to put around 8 units on that property. Now, needless to say, that doesn't mean all the 8 units definitely, because you have to now provide the parking. We have, it's a mixed-use development. You have to have 40% of your first story to be some kind of either an accessory use to the residential or your commercial use, which is what gives it a more pedestrian downtown feel, where you have 65% of glazing in your front, where people don't feel that it is just a residential building starting second story and above, and there's nothing happening on the first story where, you know, you want to plan a proper streetscape. The design standards that we have introduced in this ordinance are, again, if you were to look at your original design standards, they are kind of, you know, using that language and kind of making it much more, very targeted to what we are talking about. When we are talking about color palette, we are not giving them, hey, these are the color palettes, because again, that would be too restrictive. You don't want it. But we are saying, you know, when you present the plan to the planning board, you want to show how it is complying with the rest of the neighborhood that you are in. Like First Avenue, you want to see, and that's what would give the developer or the engineer and architect a direction or intent of what the governing body wants, what the planning board wants to see when you present the site plan. So, the requirements in the first section, the 150-42, are more as, you know, these definitely have to be adhered to. Mm-hmm. That's when you'll be before the planning board, because none of these, that's why we put in that you have to have 40% of the street frontage has to be occupied by principal users, because you don't want to see only parking lots on the first story. Mm-hmm. You want to see some kind of interactive principal use. We did say that we don't want to see more than 2-bedroom market rate units, again trying to make them more marketed to young professional, smaller units. 3-bedroom is again a requirement that we have to, as a borough, comply with because of our COA requirements. We added, a floor area requirements, and we have based this on the UHAC requirements, which is the Uniform Housing Affordability Controls, which provides the minimum requirements, as well as what we see in the market and around the ordinances. We added the density requirement. We added the glazing requirements. We have also, the parking. We haven't changed the requirement of the ratio that exists today. We are not, we didn't do that in-depth study, so we haven't gone there. What we have done is, your CBD zone has larger lots. So we want to see, at least for the residential portion, the parking on the lot, because that's, again, going to restrict the amount of units you're putting, which is invariably going to, you know, provide you the scale or the appropriate size that you want to see, because these are, again, the site impacts that you want to see on the lot. So these are all the requirements that we have in that 42 sections. The architectural and building design, again, we have given a, as Mr. Doherty said, a roadmap, an intent for the developer, for the engineer, for the architect to follow. They can present this plan before the planning board and show this, which is, again, board members, they have these same design standards in front of them. And it would be the applicant's onus to prove, you know, how they are meeting, again, the intent. You don't consider design standards just one standby on its own. You're going to look at the entire, you know, design standards and see the plan that is being presented. So the color palette, the glazing, the vent grills, the, you know, you want to see the building from every vantage point, not just the front facade. You want to see, you know, not a monotonous wall. You want to see the garage gate, which now they're going to provide, to be of the same facade treatment as the rest of the building and not, you know, roll up shutter gates. So we've tried to introduce that, again, very similar to what, you know, does exist in the ordinance, just made it more, you know, targeted towards the CBD and HBD.
Thank you. One last question from me, anyway, and then maybe other questions from members of the council. If an applicant were to come and say, I see your density requirement, but I need three more units than that's called for, what standard or what hurdle must they overcome to get approval for such an excessive?
So, first of all, whenever it becomes a density, they would have to go to the zoning board portion. And then that requires a whole host of proofs. The density has its own standards where they have to prove why, even though you are going beyond the density, how the site impacts are still being met within the site. And which, you know, as a planner, in my experience, is a very hard variance to prove before a board member as to how the impact is not going to, you know, impact any other surrounding properties or neighboring properties. So we have a planning proofs. You have to prove the positive criteria, you have to prove the negative criteria, and you have to answer the four set of questions, which is, have you tried to make the property in compliance? What are the impacts, negative impacts of the property that are getting affected, and so on and so forth. So there would be a whole host of layer of proofs that the applicant would have to provide to the zoning board to go beyond the density.
Thank you.
So my question, if we were to table this tonight, what would the impact be for the planning board for the next few months?
You know, any applications that's filed between what's being adopted, if this is not adopted, they will comply with only what's existing today in your ordinance. This ordinance is not applicable till it's adopted by the council.
So anything that comes in between now and when it's adopted?
Will be have to comply with what exists in
the current standards. And then, Brian, the current something I'm very proud of, thank you for doing this and spending all the time, and I know how much hard work the planning board has put into creating a small subcommittee that spent a lot of time on that, and I really appreciate that, and I hope and I think the intention is for them to move forward. Are the same people on that current subcommittee, are they continuing in
so the subcommittee was named after the ordinance was was drafted, but the intent has always been for this to be a starting point. This would be a starting point in the subcommittee. This for the public, this is our chapter 150 regulations. This dense volume our chapter 150. This is a very small section of our development regulations. There's a lot of prime real estate in there, and in many ways, it has been a decade or more since there have been updates to this section.
Because so we've had this conversation for years.
Yeah.
Myself, Mr. Romeyer, about trying to bring about some changes.
Mr. Bombs.
Absolutely, Mr. Bombs. Mr. Crowley was on there for, you were on there for a hot minute too. So it's been a long time. So I think that I'm feeling a little sad right now because I feel like there was a great amount of effort to try to get a starting point to this, and I feel in the room that I'm going to make a motion to table this right now. And I do that knowing that I'm going to have to go to the planning board and face them and apologize that we weren't able to give them a starting point this year, if others agree with me. But and Brian, I can't even look at you right now, but it's really, I hear what the public has said, and I didn't want to stop public comment and do this in the beginning because I think the conversation was healthy, but I am going to make that motion, and I hope someone will second it.
Okay.
Now, if I, do we like to talk
beforehand?
We have
a motion and a second. Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
No.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
I'm going to say no, and because I am concerned that there are pending applications. This would be till our next time we have this back would be where?
January.
April?
No, January.
By the time we went through all the other protocols and steps, right? Would be about April. So my concern is really with what would come down the pike from now till then, which is why I would say no.
Okay.
Wow. Ordinance 15-2023 has failed to pass. Well, the tabling has passed.
Mm-hmm. So we're tabling this.
I'm sorry.
I think it's good that we're going to clean it up, but it is a concern what could happen with two.
Okay, I want to be clear. This is similar to like regionalization. Like we need to do this. Like, and I'm committed with Brian.
Well, then the council next year, I'm going to make it a priority in the beginning of the year.
It is a priority.
I'll just say this, and it is a. There is a reason why this hasn't been touched in a really long time, and I feel that there has been a collaborative effort for the first time in many years between the planning board and this governing body. And we heard there were legitimate comments, of course, and we heard comments that were completely not germane to this ordinance. And I feel like we're making the perfect the enemy of the good.
I agree with you.
So I regret this, but I respect the vote.
Okay.
I also want to say I wish it had gone through because I know there's an awful lot of work was involved with it. But if we continue to always need to change things over time, it's going to be a problem. So let's try to get it right as much as possible first time around.
Well, we're always going to have to take into account the time and place. I just, based on public comment tonight, I agree that not all of it was germane. And Brian, I'm sorry. But I do think that there are some substantive things, and the fact that a member of the subcommittee has, you know, came with a lot to say tonight.
I think it's important as well to get the ordinance correct and written the best possible quality before we pass these things. However, we do have an issue that's pressing our town, and we want to have some kind of checks and balance in there to protect us. And I think we can always go back and clean it up, but having something on record, I think makes sense too.
Okay. Now moving on, it's public comment on consent or regular agenda items. Thank you so much, by the way. I see no hands. Zoom.
No hands raised, Mayor.
Okay. Oh, okay. The name?
Katrina Majewski, 124 Wesley Ave. I know it's on the subcommittee coming up. I apologize. I'm not used to coming to any meetings. I guess this is Environmental Commission related. So are we getting back that box of wrapper recyclers?
That would be on the public comment later on. This is on the agenda items, okay? We'll answer that in a few minutes, hopefully. Less than a minute. Okay. Consent agenda. these items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 172, approving Municipal Alliance Strategic Plan for Fiscal Year 2025. Resolution 173, approving refund of overpayment of taxes. Resolution 174, appointing Betsy Allen Gomes, payroll clerk. Resolution 175, payment of bills, $339,616.65. Resolution 176, accepting membership into Atlantic Fire Department. And now I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it. I'll second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Helen Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Okay. Reports.
All right. we have a fire department report. For the month of October, AHFD responded to 19 calls. For the year, they've responded to 185 calls. They wanted to give a friendly reminder to please have your chimney sweeps cleaned and inspected to prevent chimney fires. And they also wanted to let you know that on December 2nd, there is the annual Christmas tree lighting. Volunteers are welcome. Setup will begin at 3:45 p.m., the day of the event. And similar to the EMS squad, AHFD is always looking for new members. If you find one of the volunteer firefighters, speak to them. They'll let you know what's involved. And if you're interested, they'll get you signed up. As for recreation, basketball signups are still underway. The deadline is December 3rd. Little Hoops is $55. That's kindergarten and first grade. Regular rec is second through eighth grade, and that's $85. This is for both boys and girls. Sign-up is available on the borough website, and again, December 3rd is the deadline. We have an environmental commission coming up on the 28th. We will be having a guest speaker, Tom Harrington, who is the director of Urban Coast, of the Urban Coast Institute at Monmouth University, who has over 30 years of experience in coastal resilience. We're very excited for him. He's also bringing one of his colleagues. I have no report for Shade Tree, and that's all I have today.
Thank you.
Okay, good evening. Senior citizens, last meeting, I believe I mentioned that the New Jersey Transit is having an open forum on December 2nd concerning transportation services for seniors and those with disabilities. The Senior Citizens Committee or Council has decided to has requested the Atlantic Highlands send a letter of support to continue and expand services, transportation services for seniors and for the disabled. So that will be going out hopefully this week. For OEM, just a notice that you may or may not be aware of, but we're supposed to be getting a pretty bad storm tomorrow into Wednesday, and just be careful out there because of the Thanksgiving holiday. There may be some issues. OEM wanted to mention that. And lastly, very quickly, thank everyone, the American Legion, and those who participated in the Veterans Day ceremony. There were many people who were supported, who provided support and participated, but American Legion did do a bang-up job, as they always do. That is my report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Very quick tonight, Mayor. No finance or personnel report. Nothing to add to Councilman Colasardo's fire update. Planning Board, for those interested in TV 23-02, Cali and 160 First Avenue, not related to this discussion of this ordinance in any way or form. There will be a special meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, November 21st at 7 p.m. here in this room. The applicant has submitted some revised materials, which are available on ahnj.com. The next regular meeting of the Planning Board will be held on Thursday, December 7th. And then finally, from my family to yours, I wish you all a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have very much to be thankful for here in Atlantic Highlands.
Thank you, Mayor. Very briefly, I was unfortunately unable to attend the Sustainable New Jersey luncheon that took place in Atlantic City on Tuesday, but others were there, so I'll let them report on it. The plaque has arrived, though, and is now affixed out front, so we're very excited, and congratulations to the Green Team and its Captain Ellen O'Dwyer.
We have a picture.
Oh.
We didn't know when we were going to do it, but...
You can do it during, want to do it during Rob's report, so Doug's ready?
He didn't turn it on yet.
Oh, okay, well, I'll keep going. Oh, go for it.
This is Sustainable Jersey 2023 Sustainability Champion Award, Small Municipality Category, Atlantic Highlands.
Very nice.
Congratulations. Yay, America.
Harbor, there has not been a meeting since our last, so there's no report there. Shade Tree, same thing. In terms of open space, we're working with our planner to get those charrettes scheduled. That's a lot of moving parts because it takes a village to get scheduling done between the school and the municipality and the calendar. The Arts Council is having a makers market this coming Saturday and Sunday. There's a whole bunch of local artists there that are selling their beautiful things, and so they will welcome you to please come out and join them and support them. Today is Transgender Day of Remembrance, and I just wanted to make a note of that since we didn't say it yet today. It's a very difficult day for many in our community. And on a positive note, I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Not a whole lot left for me here, but I will touch a little bit back on just to remind our residents, First Aid has our Santa runs coming out this year. Santa and the sleigh are ready, and that will take place from December 4th through December 7th. You're welcome to go on to the Atlantic Highlands First Aid Facebook page for more details there. Anybody interested in partaking? They were asking for food donations, excuse me. That will go to the food bank at the Methodist Church on 3rd Avenue. Anybody interested in joining the Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad, please email info@ahfirstaid.org or feel free to call the chief, 732-291-8118. As mentioned, recreation basketball sign-up started, and the tree lighting will be December 12th. As mentioned, or
December
2nd. I wrote 2, actually. December 2nd. And that will start at 3:45, as mentioned. Jumping over to DPW. Pumpkin recycling. The pumpkin area is back at the Borough Yard. Please feel free to drop off your old pumpkins. Sanitation, Thanksgiving, and day after, which will be November 23rd and November 24th, there will be no residential sanitation pickup. Leaf collection. All zones have had the first leaf pickup completed. The next townwide pickup zone will pick up in Zone 1 on December 4th, 2023. Brush and leaf pickup. The Borough Yard is open from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday for brush and leaf drop-off for all residents. Borough Yard will be open, as mentioned, on Saturday and Sunday in November and December from 8 a.m. till noon. The yard will be open on November 24th, the day after Thanksgiving. One brief comment, as mentioned at the last meeting regarding the harbor, and this goes out to our harbor tenants. If you have not scheduled a winter storage haul out yet, please call the harbor office to be placed on the schedule. The last day for haul outs is Friday, December 1st. All summer land storage can move. That was already mentioned. All right. And that would be it for me. I will also share in the congratulations going out to our green team. It is not easy making silver, let alone receiving the champion award. So congratulations to all those that partake in making that happen, and especially the captain. Thank you.
Mayor, I forgot one quick thing. Sorry. Because Rob had told me to say it, and I thought he was going to report on it. He's not here. So the Borough of Atlantic Highlands has been selected as a 2024 Healthy Cities Campaign Grant recipient. We had alluded to this at the last meeting, and we just were informed that we have received $30,000 to start the outdoor fitness court, and it unlocks a whole lot of other opportunity for us to receive grant funding. So that happened. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So now moving on to administrator's report. The administrator did want the chief of police to read this, but so he told me.
That was a strong request.
Okay.
Are there any surprises?
Everyone give a round of applause for Chief Scott Reiner.
Okay.
I don't know if I can replace that.
Yeah.
Backside of this.
The cushion will be there.
No, there's no, there's no cushion. No cushion.
Oh, my goodness, it's long.
Okay.
Hold on. All right. I don't have glasses like
that. It's good, I know.
Seat race.
Here we go.
All right, the borough has received communication from the county approving the closure of CR 8 First Avenue between East Highland and East Mount Avenue on December 2nd from 3 to 7 p.m. for the Christmas tree lighting. The Department of Transportation continues to repair and replace portions of Route 36, Memorial Parkway curbing on both sides of the highway. We thank them for their assistance. The Borough Hall parking lot has been repaved, finally. Restriped and has had its ADA ramps replaced with new ones that meet current required specifications. The entryway, is that entry? I don't think so. Entryway curbs have been redesigned to allow improved flow. The concrete apron in front of the Atlantic Highlands Firehouse has received temporary repairs. And this one's for me. This continues. Does anyone want to guess?
What season is it?
This is a reminder. This is a reminder that we are still in rut season.
Oh.
And we'll be through December. Drive safely.
Anything about poles in there? Anything about poles?
The chief of police may have struck a deer on his way home one night. Yeah, the deer lost it. Wishing everyone a happy, safe, and healthy Thanksgiving. From me and Rob.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Chief.
You got it.
And our engineer.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Brief update on the East Garfield Grand construction project underway. There's minor prep work being done at this point, some concrete test pits, and starting tomorrow, or next week actually, wet taps and insertion valves are scheduled to go in. In addition to that, I don't recall if it was reported, but I want to congratulate the borough for receiving a $261,000 municipal aid grant for 2024, so that will helpfully put a dent in the cost for the next round of roads to be improved within the borough. And happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
I have nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't know if anyone knows, but there's an elf in the building. Mr. Clark, over the weekend, if you peer in over to the municipal clerk's office, you can see that Santa has arrived a little early. So I enjoyed it, and I thank you. Everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Like everyone said, we have so much to be thankful for. So... Oh, we have public comment. Doggone it. So close, people. Okay. I try. I so try every time. You know I do.
You were trying to give yourself a present.
Oh, I know. I was like, done. I'm done. All right. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, Katrina Wojcicki, 124 North Ave. Is the TerraCycle box going to reoccur in the... Borough Hall, the wrapper box. I think it was taken out. There was coffee put in, so.
I'll ask Mr. Farragina, and he'll get back to you.
It's actually, I just got a new box.
Okay.
It's not set up. Yeah, under my sink. Thank you.
Right.
Yes. Helen O'Dwyer, Lincoln Avenue, corner of Grand American Legion Post 141, and under my sink. For Life Foundation, which is an Atlantic Islands Catholic Tunes. We're collaborating on a toy drive benefiting the children of Winterberg Children's Hospital Medical Center. We got permission today, thank you, Mayor, to place a collection box out here in the hallway. So we welcome residents to donate toys, books, anything holiday related for the children there. And we'll leave the box up for about 2 weeks.
Wrapped or unwrapped?
Unwrapped.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much. Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher, 21 Third Avenue. Just a couple of questions. With regionalization, has any decision been made on the selection of the firm that's going to do the feasibility study update?
No.
not at this time.
Okay. That's being initiated by the boroughs or the boards of education, I forget.
It's the boroughs.
Boroughs, okay. Thanks to Mr. Romeyer and to Michelle for getting me the information on the soil. Sample results at the Denholz property, it looks like the cleanup is very effective that they're doing, according to the charts that you gave me. And 68 First Avenue, I know there's been an open question about compliance with the parking plan. That information was received. Thank you again for that. And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Ms. Barbado?
AKA Lousy Road. I don't want to keep everybody here, but situation's been going on for 21 years. And I've had some good conversations with the engineer, Mr. Romeyer. Tonight I would like, I was going to ask Ms. Regina, at least to have a meeting to discuss the flooding drainage issues with Lowry Road. I don't want to go through the 21 years, because I'm tired of it, and it needs to be corrected. But in 2016, I'd like to read one quick paragraph. We were impacted by the Sandy and Irene storm, and we were in the REN program for 4 years, and the director at that time, Mr. Petticino, I don't know if you remember him, we had a meeting with the previous administration. At that time, he thought we could get something done where they could correct the street. When the street was originally paved in 2001, Birdsall and another engineering company were involved. When they, all they did was, they did no engineering reports or a survey or anything. They just paved over, put asphalt over the gravel and the dirt. That was it. They didn't consider the drainage issues at all. In fact, when they kind of completed, the engineer said, well, she wanted to go over it. And I said, well, aren't you going to put a curb? Oh, well, no, it wasn't in the plan. And if I didn't say anything, there would have been no curb at all. So the situation is, I just want you to hear this, so it gives a validation of what's going on. And I did speak to Mr. Romeyer today, and I addressed that I would state for the record that situation has been going on and on and on. This was from one of the professionals, from a builder, and had his engineering firm also. It says, hi Paul, looking at your drainage issue from the perspective of builder and engineer, with a new street, it would be designed as follows, in my professional opinion. Now, this is 2016. Starting at the end of your cul-de-sac on both sides, we would install two catch basins, one for each side. They would be considered to be a 14-inch concrete storm pipe, which would run the entire length of your block, with additional catch basins installed along the run, and finally tie in at the end of your block into the two new catch basins that the town installed at the intersection. In my experience, as a builder and contractor with our engineering firm, developer, we have done many subdivisions with new roads, and that is how our engineer would design the storm drain. The design would eliminate any runoff from the town street onto your property and the other residents on the block. So there is a problem that needs to be addressed. We've had professionals come in, and we got to get it done. Brian, happy Thanksgiving, and I would like, well, just to say, I would like to have a meeting at some point after the holiday. Right?
Thank you.
So, I, sorry. I'll keep it short.
Okay.
Allison Forbes, 86 East Mountain Avenue. I just want to let folks know that December 14th is the Friends of the Library Holiday Book Sale, which will take place across the way in our library. We have some tweens gift wrapping, so that should be pretty exciting for folks. I wanted to mention to Councilperson Dougherty that I agree with you. I'm really sad to hear that we were not able to move forward on amending Chapter 150. I'm a big believer in taking that first step, and I do feel like that was something that we failed on tonight. And thank you.
We're trying again. We're going to try again.
But again, going from zero to one really is very meaningful, and I feel like we don't always get there. And thank you, Councilperson Hohenlinger, for mentioning the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I do want to mention that the reason that we have to have this is because people who are transgender are disproportionately targeted for violence because of who they are. And these crimes often go misreported, underreported, or not reported at all. I want to read the names of the 24 people who were killed this year. London Price, she was 26. Lisa Love, she was 35. Annie Johnson, 30 years old. Dominic Dupree, they were 25. China Long, she was 30. Yoko was 30 years old. Sherilyn Marjorie was 35. Kylie Minnelli was 41. Luis Castro was 22. Tom Robertson was 28. Devonnie Johnson was 20. She was 28 years old. Jacob, he was 18. Jacob Williamson. Chanel Ortiz was 29 years old. Aisha Davis was 34 years old. Banco Brown, he was 24. Rashida Williams, she was 35. Ashley Burton, she was 37. Sia Woodland, 18 years old. Tortugaya, they were 26. Cache Henderson, she was 31. Iman Zachi was 26. Maria Fair was 22 years old. Jasmine Mack was 36 years old. And Unique Banks, she was 21 years old. And they won't be celebrating Thanksgiving with their family this year. So, thank you. And on that note,
any more at the end?
Okay.
So with that,
a
motion and second.
I'll make
the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes.